This is The Food Fix, the podcast where you learn how innovators try to better feed the world. My name's Petrolano Ali, and I'm your host. Almost 760 million people go to bed on an empty stomach each day. So how do we feed them? It's a challenge that will take many innovators and many solutions. But in this Food Fix series, we're asking researchers, innovators, and policymakers to focus on just one. We've asked them to nominate a single idea. It could be an idea that may not solve world hunger on its own, but it should make the world a little less hungry. We've narrowed it to 10, and for 10 weeks, The Food Fix will bring you an installment of our new series, 10 Ideas to Make the World Less Hungry. Stay tuned for today's idea with our reporter, Max Johnston.
You are listening to The Food Fix. My name's Max Johnston. For today's idea to make the world a little less hungry, I talked with Mark Brennan, a graduate research assistant in public policy at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Brennan's idea is to reduce food spoilage, and he has two suggestions. The first, to treat shipping bags with biopesticides made from natural materials like animals, plants, and bacteria. The other is to outfit bags with an additional airtight liner. But first, let's get a sense for how big of a problem food spoilage is. According to the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, every year some 1.3 billion tons of food ends up being thrown away, and 54% of that food is lost during production, post-harvest treatment, and storage. So, how and why is that food lost? Here's what Brennan said.
Well, there's a whole variety of reasons food is lost somewhere between the farm and whoever ends up eating it. You get instances of infestation and moisture damage forcing that food be disposed of, or even just insects eating it away and just sheer weight loss. And in developing countries, there's a whole host of reasons, including people throwing things out. I'll give you a different statistic, though, that is even more related to our study in a sense. 1% of what U.S. Agency for International Development sends abroad every year tends to be lost. 1% is lost to, in this sense, spoilage or breakage. And so what that means is as this food is kind of moving its way through the supply chain from farm to beneficiary, you have instances of the bags breaking. You have also instances of things getting wet, of insects kind of crawling their way into bags.
And that 1%, do you have an idea of roughly how much food that amounts to? Because 1% sounds like, you know, a small problem, but I'm sure that's not the case.
If you take 1% of about 1 million metric tons every year, it's a tremendous amount. You're talking about 10,000 metric tons every year. And so 10,000 metric tons, when you translate that into, say, a school feeding program or relief for a refugee camp, is an incredible amount. And lying behind that 1% applied to an amount of food is, of course, a dollar value too. And so for every dollar that ends up getting lost to spoilage or breakage, you're not spending it on that beneficiary or that school feeding program, for instance.
Say you're shipping $1 million of milled corn or something like that from Detroit, and you want to send it to Morocco. Based on your knowledge, can you give me a sort of summary of that process of collecting, packaging, and shipping it as it stands right now without your innovations?
So let's say that food is it's sitting in Detroit, and it's sitting in a big American grain elevator. A classic route for it to take would be to get into a big hopper rail car. So that's a rail car that can hold tens of metric tons, and it'll head down to the port of Galveston or any of the big ports in sort of the Gulf of Mexico, for instance. From there, when it gets to that port, it'll be unloaded at a big warehouse, and at that big warehouse, it'll be put into these bags. And so if it's a product like yellow split peas, or if it's a product like sorghum, wheat, it'll be put into these 50 kg woven polypropylene bags, at which point it'll be put into a container. And it'll head out on a ship that'll begin to head on toward Morocco. Maybe 30 days on the ocean, where you get some pretty big temperature and humidity swings, and then the container will be offloaded from the ship, and it'll probably land at a warehouse near the Moroccan port, at which point it will be unloaded. At that point, in many countries, the supply chain has almost just begun.
I see. And along that way, you mentioned temperature and sort of environmental changes, but it's going through many touches. Is that correct?
That's exactly it. So for every time that bag moves into a container, out of a container, onto a truck, off a truck, onto a stack in a warehouse and off, It's experiencing a touch, and with every touch, there's a likelihood that, you know, after being picked up and put down, being filled with 50 kilograms of some dense food product, yeah, they begin to rip. If it breaks a little bit, it's an opportunity for insects to crawl in. If it breaks a lot, well, then you get the contents on the floor, and exactly, it's a twofold problem. You're worried about breakage, and you're worried about spillage.
The problem lies in the tried but not true method of packaging itself, according to Brennan.
In American food aid programs, you have food typically packaged in these woven polypropylene bags. Woven polypropylene bags are fairly standard, and they're used to package commodities, so corn or wheat or rice, across the world.
Are these like cloth or plastic?
They're like these plastic bags that are just have this quintessential look. You see them in every village, in every trading post, and in the United States as well, just across farms. It's a fairly standard thing to use for packaging. So this has been sort of standard practice for food aid programs for a long time. And on top of that, it's been standard practice for sort of agricultural supply chains across the world for a long time.
And why is that? Is it a simple cost measure, or are these proven to be the most effective of a number of different methods? Why is this so common and has been so common for so long?
But I would imagine there's a couple things at play here. One is cost. These bags will run you, if they're produced in the U.S., these bags will run you maybe about 50 cents a bag, so relatively cheap. They're also easy to produce. In that case, you find them in agricultural supply chains across Eastern Africa and India and so forth.
And the problem with these bags, or at least where the spillage and the spoilage occurs, do they break down? Are they easy to poke holes in them? What's sort of the issue with this type of packaging?
The first is food aid supply chains are super long. You get somebody taking a bag out of container, putting it on a truck, taking it off the truck, putting it in a warehouse, putting it back on a truck. And so after 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 touches is sort of the term of art for supply chain management, these bags begin to tear. And so breakage is the first issue. Second issue is spoilage. American food aid program feed people in some of the hottest and most humid parts of the world. So if you take a place like around the Red Sea where you get temperatures coming in at 110 degrees Fahrenheit on some days and a pretty high humidity level too, you're likely to just have infestation happen as sort of a function of the environment. And so, well, there's nothing sort of exceptional, I would say, about these instances of breakage or spoilage for food aid programs. Something that is exceptional and that certainly motivates the study is the fact that when you have breakage or you have spoilage, it means less food getting to beneficiaries.
Brennan and his team think they have two solutions for these packaging problems.
Let's take the 50-kilogram bags, but let's put a really thick liner in them. That one also has a couple very attractive and unique features. Principally, it has the potential to avoid moisture damage as well as insect damage. And it has the potential at that to avoid insect damage from insects that might be in the grain at the time of packaging, as well as insects that are in the environment or trying to make their way in the grain. And so for a couple more dollars per se than the biopesticide, you can potentially ensure both quality in terms of moisture and quality in terms of insect infestation. Or let's take the 50-kilogram bags and let's put a biopesticide in them. So the idea of including a biopesticide in a bag is attractive for a couple of reasons. It wouldn't require any substantial machinery changes for the food aid suppliers that typically work with USAID because it qualitatively it looks and acts like a standard bag. And it's relatively cheap to add a biopesticide to the bags. It can be applied in a couple of ways, and none of them are too complicated. And so with these sort of two products, we think we have an interesting sort of cross-section of what's available on the market to sort of begin to test out these ideas and look at these trade-offs in a sense between cost and quality outcomes and, I think, most fundamentally, feasibility.
So on that note of cost, how do these two methods in particular compare cost-wise to the typical bagging methods that you mentioned before?
As a rough example, a standard bag costs about 50 cents. It only costs a couple cents to add a biopesticide to a bag. But then one step further, it does cost maybe another dollar or two to add an airtight liner inside of the bag. So the trade-offs in terms of cost are pretty acute, but the trade-offs in terms of outcome might be pretty acute too.
What do you think about Brennan's methods? How should we prevent food spoilage? Email us with questions and comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com or put them in the comments below this post. I'm Max Johnston.
Support for the Food Fix comes from the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. It's produced by the Translational Scholars Program at Michigan State University. Our theme music is a song, Watching My Garden Grow, by Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. I'm your host, Petrolano Ali. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.